All right, Celtics clashing with the Wizards. Game 5 of their second round series, TD Garden, tomorrow night. Washington evens it up 2 games apiece with the win on Sunday. We'll see what happens when they get to Boston. Well, that'll be tomorrow night, and it's tied up at 2 games apiece. Red Sox opening a 3-game series with the Brewers in Milwaukee this evening. Boston third now in the AL East. The Yankees are playing very, very good baseball, but the Red Sox have seemingly come alive now. Drew Pomeranz gets the ball in the opener for the Sox. The Capitals and Penguins are headed to the deciding Game 7. Caps kept the season alive, 5-2 win over the Pens in Game 6 in Pittsburgh, and Maine's poor weather. Not blaming it on anybody. It's forced the Maine Principals Association to extend the season for 2 days because some teams, particularly in Aroostook County, have only played 2 games this spring.
Couldn't you have done something about that, Governor? Passed a law or something about the poor weather and gotten it out of here soon?
I know. Isn't that awful? I mean, it's crazy.
Well, yeah, that's snow on the fields up in Aroostook County in some cases. And the kids are trying to get it in. So they're going to give them a couple of extra days. And they'll make their games up, but it's got to be done June 2nd because sooner or later they got to leave school and postseason begins June 6th.
Okay. Maine Governor Paul, on Tuesdays when schedule allows, Maine Governor Paul LePage dials into the George Hale Rick Tyler Show. Welcome back to our program, sir. We want to jump into it with you. Concerns about $600 million in transportation bonds that the treasurer would like to authorize, but...
$600 million?
Or how much on that?
That's no possible way. Maybe $100 million or so, maybe $60 million, but there's no way it's $600 million.
Maybe I'm reading a typo, I apologize. Yeah. But a hefty more money than I have in my account.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I don't know, it appears we have an RFP process, and this one here went out, and then I started getting complaints that Maine companies weren't allowed to bid in, so I looked into it, and it appears that the RFP was designed for one company and it blocked out Maine companies, so I just questioned it, and I think that I will say this. I'm not going to say that it's underhanded yet. I'm still looking at it, but it certainly shows of inexperience. And so we just said that we have to be transparent. We cannot not allow Maine companies to bid in. Now, if they're not qualified, that'll show up in the evaluation process. But the way this was written, it blocked out a lot of Maine companies, and I just asked that it be done over. I can't sell bonds this way. I don't believe in white-collar crime, and to me, this could be a white-collar crime.
Okay, Governor, I'll see if I can take you to the subject I was looking at. As you probably know, House Speaker Sarah Gideon from Freeport put in a bill Monday that would expand and enhance the social services net, which she says, and I'll just ask you, she said, you're holding $150 million in federal funds and you're not spending it. She's got a bill in that would spend that money on various pilot programs and so forth.
Look, like so many of the things that there's been coming out of the Democratic Party, like the $70 million of sales tax we're going to get from Amazon, well, if somebody would have done the math, that's $1.3 billion in sales. So I know that just off the surface, that's wrong. I will tell you right on the surface, I don't know what she's talking about, but I am not sitting on $150 million of uncommitted federal funds. She's just dead wrong.
So her bill to use federal grants to expand access? Maybe the money was it straight federal money that she's talking about?
I have no idea. That's the whole point. There is no $150 million that we're sitting on, so I don't know what she's talking about. We're all looking at each other and say, what the heck is she talking about?
Well, she's looking at an analysis.
Comment. She also said, what's that, George?
She's looking at an analysis that the Fiscal and Program Review said there was $155 million in unspent TANF funding by the end of fiscal 2016. That's the reference point she's using.
Well, they have to come down and show me where the money is. Seriously, because it's not there. It simply isn't there. I don't know what they're looking at. They also said that child poverty is going up 8 times faster than national average. That now, let me give you a fact. In 2004, between 2004 to 2016, child poverty has gone from 12,634 children to 5,000. They are dead wrong. there are more people working in Maine now. More people are lifting people out of poverty. I don't know what they're talking about. We are, Maine people are going to work. The people that were in poverty 2 years ago are out there working, earning 114% more in income than ever before. I don't know where they get these numbers.
We saw that TANF caseloads dropped again, 12,634 in 2016 to just more than 5,000 in a period of time, about a year's time. Is there a danger in that once again grabbing money from somewhere and starting to dole it out would start to erode some of the progress that you speak of in getting people off welfare and back to work?
The whole point is it's not that we're not spending the federal monies that's available to us. I think the real truth, if you get her under oath, she'd have to tell you that her priorities are different than the administration's. They would like to keep people on welfare so that they can guarantee their votes. We'd like to keep them off welfare so they can live and become more productive and contributing to their own families, their own lives. And that's the difference between Sarah Gideon and myself. She wants to keep them under her thumb. I want to make them independent of government and be more prosperous. I believe in poverty to prosperity. They believe that anybody with prosperity should move to Florida, and poor people should live in Maine.
Is this all part of the battleground that we're facing here with the Republicans wanting to repeal, and you want to repeal a 3% surtax on income above $200,000?
Yes.
Is that really part and parcel of all of this?
This is what this is. Absolutely, George. And I make no bones about it. I don't think that Maine, as one of the 10 poorest states in America, should have the highest income tax in America with the under $1 million. And I make no bones about that. They believe that there's no amount of your money that they shouldn't be able to tax. And that's just where the battleground is. You're absolutely right. You've just hit it on the head. This has nothing to do with welfare. Has everything to do with taxation.
We saw a number that said that 48% worked. When we talk about the able-bodied adults specifically, able-bodied adults without dependents, you brought this subject up to us before, and those that are on food stamps now complying with federal work requirements, nearly half, 48%, worked at least one quarter in 2015. So there's evidence that this trying to bridge them from welfare to work is working, and this could possibly set them back?
Yes, absolutely. And I'll go even one step further. The Maine people want to work. People in poverty want to contribute. They want to get out there and get a job. And the problem is sometimes they just don't know how to do it. And so rolling up your sleeves and teaching them how to do it is much better than sending them a check once a month. And I will stand by, and I will tell you this. Until Sarah Gideon walks in my shoes, she ought to just try to give us the benefit of the doubt.
Governor's probably 50 different issues that we'd like to talk about. Been very busy. We had a very interesting conversation on the air today about the governor's bill to require about 33 different categories of people to report any pregnant woman who's abusing substances. That would include drugs and alcohol or both. I don't know what committee this is going to, Health and Human Services. Maybe give us a little background into why you're requesting this. I know.
I'm just seeing too many kids that in the last 4 or 5 years, so many kids have been born afflicted with drugs, and now they're starting school, and the schools are telling us that these problems that didn't go away when you detox them, they're lifelong problems. So I think that we have to get in and say, hey, wait a minute. If you're abusing drugs, you're abusing alcohol prior to give it while you're pregnant, that, you know, we got to do something. We got to work with you. We got to get you off there. And so, yeah, I'm looking for the future generations, and that's all it is, George. It's about trying to get control of this opiate problem.
There was a question this morning about protecting someone from being sued for wrongfully reporting them. I don't know if it's a, could you review that? Is it an anonymous tipping that that someone?
I think you just give them immunity.
Because we understand there are those right now who are required to report, and they have immunity. We just wanted to make sure that by expanding the number of people who would respond and be required to, they too would have immunity in this.
Yes.
We've also had a great discussion this week on the Katahdin Woods and Waters, and now that it's going to come under review, you apparently did some work when you were in Washington. How do you view now what the government is saying they're going to do? Doesn't mean they're going to
George, I will say this. I was on a stand, and I was testifying, and Lucas St. Clair said that he has invited me to all these meetings, and I've been all these notifications. So we've been looking since I've been back of how much notifications I've received from Lucas St. Clair, Elliott Plantation, and the Katahdin Woods and Water. And I want to tell you, I can count them on one hand, and they're just mostly complaint letters rather than inviting me to participate in the process. We looked for our Secretary Salazar's letter, supposedly he said that I was notified of the meetings, and none of that is true. There's been no transparency in this process, and we're complaining about it, and I think it's going to come to light that this was done for political reasons and for tax reasons, and nothing to do with Maine people.
I want to go back to a point I made earlier, that number, that $600 million that I shared. Maria Fuentes, who's with the Maine Better Transportation Association, says that $600 million adds up when you put in what the state is borrowing and the federal match. That's where the number $600 million apparently comes in, that number that I shared with you earlier, sir.
The treasurer ought to do something about this RFP and fix it.
So going back to that just for a moment so I can understand, were Maine firms definitively excluded from being able to bid on those projects?
Yeah, the way it worked, the way they wrote the RFP, you had to be a big law firm from out of state in order to qualify, and they were specifically aiming it to one firm, which was the existing firm that's got the contract now. In fact, I was led to believe, and I don't know this for a fact, now this is just conjecture, that they helped write the RFP. And if that's the case, then there's some criminal activity here.
And you said, or we learned from your office, that there was a letter in which the treasurer wrote and said that they would specifically use the State Procurement Review Committee.
Yes.
And then
when she didn't get the outcome that she wanted, she said, well, I'm not doing it. Well, you can't play those kind of games. You're either in or you're out. And I tell you, this is the way it is. She doesn't have to use the procurement people because she's a constitutional officer. She's out. She can go do her own thing like the attorney general does. She chose to use it. Well, if you use it, then you got to follow the rules that we use. And those rules are, we have to have an economic analysis. We have to open it up for everyone. And there has been a pattern in Maine, unfortunately, and I will also say in all three branches of government, there's a pattern in Maine that people will write RFPs to suit their needs and who they want to win. And I've been fighting that now ever since I've been here. I fought it with the previous treasurer. I fought it with the attorney generals. I fought it with the executive branch, the agencies. I fought it with the judiciary. In fact, I'm in the process of fighting it with the judiciary. So it's something that good business means you open it up and you're transparent to everybody. You just don't pick and choose.
Governor,
and so when you write it to when you narrow it so much that people can't qualify, then that's really bad for Maine business.
Before we let you go today, and my probably final question here, the legislature's state and local government committee had a hearing on your proposed bill to about Narcan and making people who are abusing it towns pay a fine. Were you happy with the way the hearing went?
I don't know. I've been so busy, I don't even know what the outcome is, George, frankly. But I will tell you this. I got a letter from a dad, a father. He has his he has a daughter and he has a sister. They both have to have these pens. You know, that one is for an allergy to peanuts, I believe, and the other one's an allergy to not an allergy, but susceptible to bee stings. Mm-hmm. And they got to carry a pen that costs between $300 and $600, and they have to pay for that. But Narcan, you can, and these people have done absolutely nothing. This is a medical condition, but they got to pay for it. But Narcan, you can be on opiates, and Narcan, you get free shots. I'm just saying, you either make it free to everybody, or you charge everybody. But why should they get an advantage over someone that has a medical condition through no fault of their own? Mm.